Thank you, Lady Michelle, for that very interesting presentation. It's always very important that we don't just have rhetoric and ideas and complaints about problems, but we actually have solutions and solutions that are workable. We talk about assisted repatriation. Well, this would be a system of assisted repatriation that not only turned around the migration disaster, but also helped to build sustainable economies and countries so that people did not feel the need to come to the West. So thank you so much for that. Now, our next speaker is someone who has been within the nationalist movement for longer than I have. He is somebody that is extremely well known. He is one of the old hands who helped build the British National Party when it was in its most successful incarnation. He was the British National Party's head of admin. He was somebody that helped put in place the structures and processes that allowed the party to grow so very quickly and allow it to be such a well-oiled machine. There are often people who are at the forefront of movements, who make speeches, who appear on the internet, and those people get a lot of praise. I'm not saying they shouldn't get praise, but they get a lot of praise. But there are people who sit behind the scenes who often don't get the praise they deserve. There are administrators, treasurers, people who ensure the day-to-day runnings of organisations, that make sure that the machine is so well-oiled. The man who I'm about to introduce is one of those men. PA would not be where it was today had it not been for his efforts. He is a man that works tirelessly, who gives his every free moment to ensuring that our administration runs smoothly and that the day-to-day operations of Patriotic Alternative are always smooth and efficient. Please give a very, very warm round of applause for Kenny Smith.
Thank you very much, Mark, for that all too kind introduction. If you'll indulge me, I'm going to pour myself a little water. I did have a bottle, but my better half pinched it just before I got up. So, yeah. Sadly, not a whiskey. So, as I said, thank you very much, Mark, for that all too kind introduction. Never ceases to amaze me how forgiving you are of all my regular rants and moans. I definitely have turned into that caricature of the grumpy old man. Somebody actually said to me recently that I had matured like a single malt whiskey. And I took that to be a compliment. However, it turns out that's not quite how it was intended. They confided in me that they'd considered this analogy because while I consistently deliver the quality and robustness they expect from my age and reputation, I'm sadly not to everybody's tastes. Now, I think most of you can understand that and believe that. I think they had the measure of me there, really, to be honest. But I make no apologies for it because my unpalatability in certain circles is due to a growing intolerance of certain things. And I should make it clear at this point as well that tolerance is not a virtue. Why on earth should we tolerate anything we know does us long-term harm? We shouldn't. We can tolerate things for a short time when they're negative, if the end result is something positive and long-lasting. The dentist drill, for example. Perfect example of that. And I'm intolerant of many things. Our traitor politicians, international financiers, self-hating whites, and commie scum. Because we should never, ever, ever tolerate anything that aids the destruction of our race. But there's something I have grown even more intolerant of these last few years. And I'm pretty sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's the slackers. Yeah. Or schlackers, as I often hear in an amusing Irish-sounding accent on voice notes that try to mimic my lovely Scottish accent. And if you're now moving uneasily in your seat or watching this at home on the internet and thinking nervously, you already know what a slacker is. A slacker, put simply, is somebody who understands what the problem is, but refuses to act. I get told time and time again that people have a choice to either stand or run away. And I see constantly today people who pick a third option, and that's to stand and watch other people engaged in the struggle. There are way too many people like that in our movement. There are people who believe they are contributing to the struggle simply by watching hour after hour of online content a week. People whose sole involvement in the fight is to go onto internet chat groups and chat away. They think that's meaningful resistance. They do nothing in the real world. Their contribution is online and amounts to nothing more than voyeurism. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to come out and show face and do banner drops, demos, the leafleting. Be nice, but I'm realistic. That's not how it works. There are, however, a mountain of jobs that need done behind the scenes, the kind of stuff that Mark was talking about, to support these people on the front line. We need writers, researchers, admin, planning, media. There's fundraising, organising, coordinated activities. There are jobs aplenty. In fact, you just have to think about all the people that helped make today's event happen. Loads of people behind the scene, from booking the venue, dressing the room, the security team, the media team, the officers who coordinate your very attendance here today. There are unsung heroes in everything you do, and I'd personally like to thank each and every one of you who put on today. Eight of them, as an example, worked quietly behind the scenes to design, pay for, and produce these banners behind you. That's a community ethos we are building. They weren't seeking attention or fame. They worked quietly behind, got it done for the benefit of everybody. That happens. So our focus, as been said already, is on community politics and winning back local communities. But for that to happen, we need the full nationalist community to get involved in the struggle and back our frontline activists. Let's build that fully functioning, trusted community we all want, because we're going to need that to make victory happen. These people, to coin a phrase, who only view online content or lurk in chat groups. If you believe you are involved in the struggle, let me tell you, you are not. You're not. The fight will be won in the real world, in our neighbourhoods and communities where we live, not in an artificial online sphere. The real world. Now, again, I'm not saying online activity is bad. It certainly isn't. PA has shifted the Overton window because of the work that we've done online, which supported the real life activity. And if you think that's not the case, you're deluding yourself. You don't know what goes into building a successful mass movement. And let me tell you actually something else. There are people in this movement who are absolutely exhausted. Absolutely exhausted, because they're doing the work of half a dozen people. They're doing job after job because other people are either too scared to take on a task, or worse still, they don't want to sacrifice any of their online activity to contribute. It's sad, but it's true. That's what's happening. Here in PA, we have people who burn the candle at both ends consistently. They get up early in the morning and do jobs before they go to work. They come home, race their dinner, and do exactly the same thing again, often into the wee small hours. And it's voluntarily as well. Nobody gets paid for it. They give up whole weekends sometimes in the fight for our people because they know it's their duty to do so for the survivor people, and they don't shirk it. They don't shirk it. I'm one of these folk. I am constantly exhausted, and it's the root cause of my growing intolerance. It's why I constantly ask for people to share the burden. I keep banging the drum. Help us lighten the load. Join the fight for real. Take some responsibility. You can't leave it for the few. I've got a beautiful woman in my life at the moment, and I'd love to spend a lot more time with her than I do. But the truth is, we can't, because she does exactly the same as me. Burns a candle at both ends for the movement, and sometimes we have to sacrifice the pleasurable things in life because it's urgent PA stuff to do. I'd love an evening off. I can't get it because not enough people are in the fight. And it's not fair. It's not fair. But what makes Patriotic Alternative stand out for me is that we have a high degree of quality people involved who take on their leadership roles. What worries me, though, is that these people have taken on too many tasks. They have too many burdens. And there's a danger people burn themselves out if everybody else doesn't help and muck in. If we ultimately fail as a people and a nation, and we might, it will not be the fault of those who stood up to be counted, but the fault of those who haven't. This world is not becoming an uncomfortable place for white people because of those who do evil against us, but because good white folk do nothing in the fight. We need every one of you to join in. The fear stirred up by the media, the politicians, and the anti-whites makes people police their own thoughts and behaviours simply to avoid being targeted and victimised by these same anti-whites. The enemies of our people have managed to do this without any real coercion at all. They haven't beaten people up, thrown them in jail, threatened them with a gallows. None of these things. Yet these same specimens read the reports, watch the news of the attacks, the murders, the enslavement and replacement of countless innocent people in our own land as it's been diversified, and they're paralysed by fear. They have to get over that fear, get a grip of themselves and control it, because they believe the same as we do in this room. Like us in this room, they know exactly what has to be done, but they don't act on it because of fear. Social ostracism in the main, really. But boo-hoo. They're too scared to say publicly, "I'm proud to be white." They won't even object when they hear somebody say it's wrong to say it's okay to be white. Yet they'll go online behind an anonymous profile and they'll Fed post. But do something in the real world where it really matters. They won't do it. They haven't got the spine for it. I stand here before you today as somebody has spent my whole adult life as an open advocate for our people. At least 30 years in this movement. Tells you how old I am. And there is absolutely nothing to fear. Nothing. Violence is often threatened against us, but it rarely occurs. The name calling and the smears, easily exposed, and their power has waned. Fair weather friends are not worth having, and jobs can be found by those who want them. There is absolutely nothing to fear. We do not advocate for violence or criminality. So we should not fear the treasonous authorities. Yes, they are persecuting us, trying to replace us, but we must resist. If we don't, they win by default. We need those who can be frontline activists to come and be activists. We need those who work behind the scenes to actually come and do some work. Those who can provide funding, raise the monies needed, because we need everybody to come together and make the necessary commitment so we can achieve our shared goals. The crux of it is that if we all do something, and I believe if we overcome the fear factor, if we overcome the odds, we can win out for our people. Have any of you read the book How It Was Done by Steve Smith? It's a superb wee book detailing how Burnley BNP secured 8 councillors and became the official opposition in their hometown, having formed the branch
from scratch. It's both informative and inspirational.
Well, in 2004, Steve said, "As nationalists, whether we like it or not, we have to recognise that if we do not do the things that need to be done, whatever they may be, we will fail. It takes courage to admit your fear. And if you're not even prepared to acknowledge that, then your full potential as a human being will almost certainly never be realised. We need to stop treating the movement like it's a game. Stop thinking of PA as just a social club. We need to get serious about our activism, engage in community politics, spread the word openly and with confidence. Find the jobs that need doing and get them done." In the book, he also reminds us that the Roman Emperor Caligula was fond of saying, "Let them hate so long as they fear." And that's what our overlords still believe today. They know the British public don't like what's going on, but they know too that they are too scared to do anything about it. The kind-hearted Brits are susceptible to their propaganda and live in fear. People in this movement also live in fear. To quote Steve Smith again, "Banish your fear. The door will open and we will win." He's right. But isn't it sad that I'm having to say the same thing again 18 years later? If we as a movement can conquer our fear, we will give heart to our countrymen. Once our people stop being afraid, they will throw off the yoke of tyranny and grasp freedom again, just like they did in Burnley. That is your responsibility, a choice you have to consciously make. Now, whenever you choose one thing over another, you discriminate. Ooh, another dirty word, isn't it? Our enemies say we must not discriminate, and they attempt to take away our right to choose. They try to criminalise our right to choose by preventing us from discriminating in favour of our own people and culture. We naturally want to preserve our own race and way of life. And to do that, we must discriminate against other races and cultures. Or in other words, choose to put first our own race and culture. There is nothing wrong with discriminating. In fact, like intolerance, when you examine it, it's a healthy survival instinct. I discriminate in favour of my own race every day. And I regularly discriminate against slackers too, I have to be honest. I unapologetically value more highly those who engage in the real world struggle than those who stand and watch. And you should too. As Marcus said, many of you know I'm the architect of the regional structure we've adopted as an organisation, and I'm also responsible for the introduction of a vetting system we've implemented too. And if you believe the lurid tales of half-blind, worm-tongued old has-beens, I'm actually the man pulling the strings here in PA. And Mark listens to every word I and the equally shady Steve Blake say. However, you all know that's absolute nonsense. There is nobody more capable than the nationalist struggler today than our leader, Mark Collett. There is nobody pulling his strings, I guarantee you that. There is nobody who has the skills and experience he has. Nobody who can fight or corner like him. And his debating skills are the stuff of legend. You all know that. There's nobody that even comes close to measuring up to what he has achieved in the last 2.5 years. He has radically re-energized the nationalist struggle back into life, dragged it kicking and screaming off the internet and back into the real world where it can impact people's lives. I'm proud to call him my friend and to follow his lead, a patriotic alternative. I'm also very grateful that he's the type of leader who favours frank counsel, because he sure gets that from me, and a strong organisation too. He shares my passion for creating a mass movement that builds our people up, ensuring we have capable leaders at every level, from local to national. We want to build a community that does not just rely on one or two individuals, and it's thereby susceptible to collapse if these people fall or fail. We want all our activists to become as mentally and physically fit as possible. We want them to be confident advocates for our people, leaders in their own neighbourhoods, as well as in our community. It has been a year since we introduced this system and structure, and I'm proud to say, as Laura mentioned earlier, we now have 58 officers in post across the country at regional level alone. That's absolutely incredible for 1 year. And I think these brave and capable officers and the regional organisers who've taken on the challenge to lead and energise the regions are the biggest heroes in PA for me. The stuff that, you know, they've stood up and stepped forward in their communities, and I'd like you all, if you would, to give them a round of applause, please. I hope you're not counting that in my minutes, Mark. Our community is imbued with trust and confidence, which in turn creates vigour. But it was built having overcome a certain level of resistance. When I first got on board, we had a few regional organisers who were, by and large, left to their own devices. And there also had been a few incidents which, due to a certain inexperience, had allowed our people to fall foul of a little bit of anti-white mischief. So it was clear to me that we had to implement radical changes, not only to protect our people, but also to build the organisation into a serious movement that could offer hope to people in the real world, as I've said. We must always offer our hand of friendship to anybody who wants to be in our number. But we defend our community when it is attacked, regardless of the source. Any element that threatens the trust within our community needs removed. By reinforcing solidarity, we ensure the energy and vitality of our community remains. If disruptive activity is tolerated simply in order to keep our numbers high, it is always the case that the drive and verve is lost. And it must be said also that many of our best now didn't actually have faith that I was right in this at the beginning. They believed that we could not do without a handful of refuseniks who wanted influence within our secure and trusted community, but who denied that security and reassurance back to the community. Some of those who have gone have exposed themselves as traitors in our midst, yet our ranks have grown and we've appointed officer after officer, proving the health and solidarity of a fully vetted community. And it's childlike for us to imagine that a growing movement like ours won't have these moments. But I'll tell you honestly that they're but minor fevers. We have sweated them out with ease, much like this COVID flu that's going around. We've removed negative elements and maintained the radical health of our revolutionary organisation. External elements who whine and moan about disunity and strife do not understand about courage or energy. They do not have the courage to commit to our movement or the energy required to drive it forward. Instead, they close the curtains, tap away on their keyboards, stream behind avatars, and encourage others to follow their cowardice and to believe they've contributed simply by listening to them. The worst elements are actually those who mask their own guilty fears with attacks on us. We who fight and seek to build a trusted, united community. It's been said that revolutionary movements are not made by great writers, but by great speakers. And some of those slackers are fine talkers. The problem, however, is while they identify the problems affecting our folk, they offer no cure. It's great that they awaken our people to the root of our troubles. But when they then throw their hands up in the air and proclaim all is lost, they are failing our people. Worse still, they're demoralizing them. We have the medicine, the cure. Send them our way. Give them hope, because we can win with their support. We aim to be a mass movement, but inclusion in the PA community comes with responsibility, a responsibility to care and support the other folk in our community. Communities look after their own. Strong communities develop a greater sense of identity and unity when they come together and organise collectively against the challenge to their existence. We gain a sense of duty to do all we can do to not only secure a future for our people, but to ensure we flourish once again. PA has proven this past year, since we introduced vetting, that a focus on quality control and a committed high trust environment has indeed forged a strong community. We are punching well above our weight because we have built that community. And we are growing in confidence because we recognise the necessity for commitment and action. I had a cheeky laugh recently when one of our senior officers asked me, who's Morgoth? Our people are so focused on the real world that the streams of those who only operate online increasingly mean nothing to them. Online streamers, in some cases, are becoming as irrelevant as the bleating of those sat outside our community bemoaning their exclusion because they refuse to do identity checks. They refuse to show the same ID they'd happily hand over to open a new crypto exchange. I'm even told some allow their IDs to be scanned to enter nightclubs. I make no apologies for taking security seriously. If you want to join a trusted community, you have a responsibility to ensure that trust is mutual. If you don't trust us, we sure as hell should not trust you. Simple. That's how a strong community works. When we have that understanding that the person next to you has the same knowledge, that the activist has the courage and conviction inside them as you have, absolutely nothing seems impossible. The survival of our people isn't then just a dream. It's in our own hands. We decide if our people live or die. We who are proud and strong, who have overcome our fears and raised our voices in defence of our people. We who proclaim our own identity and dare to accept the responsibility to act in defiance of tyranny and build a real world community for our own people. We can decide if our race survives, but we need our numbers to continue to swell. We need those struggling with their fears and anxieties to dig deep, find their courage before it's too late. We need ex-BNP folk to stop looking for excuses and get involved in the struggle once more. We need those ethno-nationalists trying to fly under the radar in SIVNAT groups to actually embrace the struggle and stand up for what they truly believe in. We need every single person who understands the existence of our race in peril to stop searching for reasons to avoid being a participant in the resistance and accept they have a responsibility to themselves, their family, and to their folk. They have a duty to get involved with us and become part of the only community that can make a difference. There are people out there losing their lives every day to this destructive invasion. People being raped and murdered on the altar of multicultural demographic replacement. And the future of our children has been lost because fear is stopping many of these people from resisting and defending their birthright. Are our children not worth fighting for? Are they? Of course they are.
100 times yes. But if you remain silent, if you remain inactive, if you continue to live in fear, our children will have no future. The enemy will win and our people will be lost forever. But all that is required to prevent that happening is for people to find their courage, to overcome their fear. Nothing on this green earth is more stunning and effective than when our people embrace the struggle and battle against the odds. Our people can achieve anything they want to when they set their minds to it. But first, we have to stop making excuses and stop being scared. The enemy fear us. That's plain to see. We are small compared to them right now, and yet they monitor us. They hinder us. They smear us. They lie about us. They're the real cowards. They fear honest debate, and they fear our truth. And they never give us a fair chance. We have to take that for ourselves. If we continue to grow stronger, or as we continue to get stronger, they may decide that senior figures like myself should be silenced or locked away simply for organising against the destruction of our country and standing up for our people. But it's not something I fear, because I do not engage in illegal activity. I hope it never happens, but I know the best chance of me avoiding that is for us to build a whole community of our people who resist together. If we are united in struggle, we will achieve victory through struggle. The more of us who stand up and speak out for our people, the harder it will be for the anti-white regime to silence us and lock us all away. The more our people overcome the fear, the sooner their bleak future will be turned around. So, if you feel that twinge of guilt within you right now, you know to some degree you're a slacker. And I make no apologies for saying it. It's true. But to you I say it's time to look inside yourself. Find that courage I know exists within you. Find that which your ancestors gave you, the strength to overcome life's struggles and continue the flow of our people. We only win if the slackers join the fight. For those of you gathered here today, I say to you, guilt them, shame them, coax them, coerce them. Do whatever you have to do to get these people involved. To those later on watching the screens, I beseech you, think of your children. Think of all the other white children, my children. What will you say to them in the years to come when they ask what role you played in the fight for freedom? 20 years from now, will you be able to look in the faces of your children or your grandchildren and tell them honestly that you did what you could to help them in these times? What did you do when your country was being destroyed and your race betrayed? Here, now, when you can make a difference, when it could mean they don't have to suffer in the future under a tyranny that will be far worse than the one we live in today. Embrace the struggle. Play your part. These are not empty slogans. We need you to believe in them. We need you to live them. Because we can win this fight. Believe in the survival of our people in our own homelands. Banish the fear and save your race.
That was a very powerful speech, and I just want to add some weight to that, because in the past we used to advertise these events on PWR, on Tea Time with Sam and Laura. We used to advertise these events on a range of different streams, and that was great because we got a lot of people coming, but it resulted ultimately in people who had bad intentions weaseling their way onto our mailing lists, purchasing tickets, with the sole intention of not only disrupting this event, but smashing our organisation, and at some point, hurting people like myself, Laura. Laura and Sam have been physically attacked by these groups. The vetting process has not drastically reduced our numbers, but it has brought us safety and community. It has stopped people coming to our activities and attempting to assault our activists and organisers. And I said earlier about the great numbers we've got here today, but everyone here today is somebody that we trust, somebody who has been to a previous event, somebody who's gone through the vetting process, somebody who is a well-known former BNP activist or candidate who stood at council level. And that trust is the bond that allows any community to be strong and ultimately to flourish and grow. Some people, probably sat at home now watching this, won't like what Kenny has said, but what he has said is the truth. If you don't like what he's saying, then it's an uncomfortable truth. And when you feel an uncomfortable truth, the problem is not with the person telling you that truth, but unfortunately it is with you who does not want to accept the facts being presented.